Today on Bobineer Live, January 6th was 5 days ago, and I'm going to be condemning the insurrection. What I have to say might surprise you, but probably not. We're talking about vaccine hesitancy and dangerous misinformation. Also, I think the Christian conservative Republican circles have missed the mark with COVID, thinking it's the most important issue when it's not. We'll talk about what is all of that and more right here on Bobineer Live. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bobineer Live. I'm your host, Dominic Inyart. January 6th was 5 days ago. Of course, the liberals, predictably so, made that day online completely insufferable. And if you don't remember, on January 6th, back in 2021, a few dumb Republicans went for a stroll through the Capitol. The media says they were armed. Armed with what? Who knows? You know, cell phones, keys, pamphlets, perhaps even Trump 2020 flags. Who knows? But they were armed, according to the media. And, you know, flags, those are pretty much just as dangerous as guns and explosives. And, you know, but everyone knows that. But then, so 5 days ago was a year since January 6th, and the liberals made this massive, insufferable deal about it. And I mean, of course they were. When you give the liberals an inch, they take a mile. They do what we should do. But so they've been running with that for the past year, and no surprise there. And I mean, of course, right? Is there any chance in a million years that they don't go insane talking about a, you know, air quotes here, insurrection? Of course not. They're going to use that all day, every day, and basically nothing we say. Not just that it won't convince them. It's not just that we're not persuasive enough. They won't even hear it. And, you know, that's something I recently learned about liberals. It's not only that they're incredibly stupid. I mean, they are incredibly stupid. Don't get me wrong. But it's not just that. It's that they don't even listen. You know, on the show, we spent the last year saying the vaccines are unethical. And of course they are. And then, you know, Bob dies of COVID. What do they all say? We must have gotten over 3,000 calls, tens of thousands of messages all over various social medias. You know, I felt rather popular. And what were they all saying? They were all saying, you should have never said the vaccine doesn't help COVID. Look, now he's dead. Now, I'm a pretty big fan of my dad. I think it's fair to say that. You know, I worked with him for 6 days a week, a fourth of my life. And not once in my memory can I think of a time where he said, the vaccine won't protect you from COVID. Do you guys in the audience, do you remember a time that he said that? I don't remember that. You know, I know we said that the masks don't work, and it's clear that the masks don't help. But, you know, I do remember one time, and this was off the record, but I told him, I think the vaccine probably does help with COVID. I haven't looked into it too deeply myself, but my guess is, my gut guess is that I think it probably helps. You know, I don't really care to learn too much about it, because to me, whether it helps or not is 100% irrelevant. You know, I know a lot of really smart people who think it won't help, but to me, it almost doesn't matter. My rule is that if it's produced in part with fetal cell lines, I'm not going to get it. And I'm going to encourage others not to get it either. And Bob, my dad, he agreed with that. And largely, that's what he spent the better part of 2021 saying, in that these fetal cell lines, it's unethical. And then with Trump, we've never been Trump fans here at BEL. If you have listened to this show, you know that we have not been Trump supporters at all. In fact, we've struggled financially. It's hard to keep up a big audience because we haven't supported Trump. We're in these Christian conservative circles, and every election year, we remind people, hey, don't support the lesser of two evils, because that's still evil. And because of that, we lose money and we lose a good portion of our audience. But hey, that's our whole thing, right? Do right and risk the consequences. And I feel like we practice what we preach. But point being that we don't We've never supported Trump by any means. But then the weeks following my dad's death, we get these thousands of messages. And I feel bad for my grandma, especially. I know Connie. I mean, me and my brothers were in the fight somewhat. And we have thick skin, as I know my grandma does. But my grandma, it's Connie, and her son dies. And then people start calling her and telling her they're happy her son died. And all this really awful stuff. Stuff so bad that I can't say on the air. And as we're getting these messages, it's sad because I realized they haven't been listening at all. I mean, yes, they're going to criticize us, even if they had been listening. But at least get mad at us for what we said. Don't get mad at us for supporting Trump when we've spent the past 5 years criticizing him. Anyways, all of that's off topic. My point is that liberals, it's not that they don't understand when we make arguments. That's not it at all. They can't even hear what we're saying. They are to a cartoonish point where they are just fully unable to hear what we're saying. I mean, if they did hear it, they probably still wouldn't understand, but we're not even to that point yet. So what do we do? Do we just give up? No, of course not. Here's a good rule in life. If you are fighting for a moral issue, never give up. And that said, this doesn't mean we should just waste our time. You know, Jesus told his followers to preach to the cities in Israel, and if they weren't willing to hear them, to leave and to shake the dust from their feet. He taught them to not cast their pearls before swine. So let's be smart with how we go about fighting for truth, right? Yelling at a brick wall that 1 + 1 = 2, I mean, hey, that's true. And if you're doing that, fighting for truth, you know, I might get kind of rallied up by that. I might say, yeah, 1 + 1 = 2. And I might cheer you on and I might begin to yell at the wall myself. But obviously, that's a waste of time because the wall does not have ears to hear. Now, we just celebrated the 1 year January 6th anniversary, which really isn't a big deal. I mean, obviously, it wasn't an insurrection for a million different reasons. You guys, you're the smartest audience in the country, so you already know that. I don't need to convince you. But the left, they have it in their minds that it was this, you know, dangerous insurrection and that it was going to threaten our democracy. And you could yell at them all day saying, this does not matter. And I might get rallied up by that. I might say, yeah, it really wasn't a big deal. You're right. And I might cheer you on and I might start yelling at them myself. But that's the same problem as before. It's just yelling into the void like the brick wall. These people, they don't have the ears to hear. So I'm not saying, don't accuse me here. I'm not saying that we should just give up. But what I am saying is that we shouldn't spend all day playing on their turf. I've, you know, seen a lot of conservatives spending all their time talking about why the January 6th thing wasn't this big deal that the liberals make it out to be. But so instead of that, I propose we drop the Trump insurrection topic and all that, and don't even bother to respond to that whole shabacle. But rather, we should bring the conversation to our turf where we control the argument. In doing so, I'm going to condemn the insurrection, and I'm going to state to the government, you should have everyone who was involved in the insurrection publicly executed or flogged. And no, I'm not talking about the stroll through the Capitol last January. I'm talking about the Black Lives Matter insurrection in Seattle during the 2020 Summer of Lawlessness. Real quick, let's define what an insurrection is. Google defines it as a violent uprising against an authority or government. And that's a pretty good place to start, but I'm going to add to it a little bit. I'm going to say that it's a violent uprising against the government in order to institute a new or a reformed government. So rather than talking about this fake January insurrection, I'm going to spend my time talking about a real insurrection. Back in June 2020, I'm old enough to remember that Black Lives Matter in Washington went to the largest city and they occupied it, Seattle. And they said, do you guys remember what they said? I'm old enough to remember. I wonder if you guys are. They said that we are a new government here. We are our own new country. You remember CHOP or CHAZ, as it were? CHAZ, that stood for the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Now, note their name here. Note their name. It's the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Autonomous. Autonomous means independent, right? Means having authority to govern itself and control its own affairs. And so Black Lives Matter, the terrorist insurrectionists, they claimed they were their own country. They said, you know, we have our own borders. We have our own system of government. We have our own courts. We have our own police force. And we are our own new country. This is CHAZ. It's us. We did it. We're here. And these are violent insurrectionists, and they must pay the price. If you want an example of an insurrection, rather than taking the people who say, yeah, we were angry, let's take the people who unapologetically said, this is our own new country, and we are not subject to your laws. And let's punish those people instead. Those violent insurrectionists, they are traitors. They are Benedict Arnolds, and they should be ashamed. Traitors to the cause, and they should be treated as such. So rather than getting rallied up defending annoying Republicans who were at the Capitol in January last year, I'm going to spend my energy and my outrage attacking BLM insurrectionists, and you should too. But yeah, actually, so side point here. You know what's funny about that insurrection, thinking back to that back in 2020? Those BLM insurrectionists, I've noticed a reoccurring theme with BLM supporters. They're not very smart. That's a pattern I've noticed. I'm curious if you guys have noticed that pattern. I have myself. But those BLM insurrectionists, they said a few things when they started their insurrection. They said, first of all, we don't want a government with a police force, right? We don't want a government with a police force that murders black people. They also said, we don't want a country that has borders like racist America does. So those were the three points that they said, the three things that justified their insurrection was that they didn't want a police force, they didn't want to murder black people, and they didn't want borders. And if you remember with that insurrection, what were the first three things they did? They started the CHAZ CHOP thing, and the very first thing they did, number one, pronto, immediately, the first thing they did was they started a police force, right? And then they used those police officers, as they called them, to create a border. A wall. They put up a wall. I mean, it was a pathetic wall, don't get me wrong, but it was a wall. A wall paid for by their neighbors, by the way. They didn't pay for that wall. They made a wall. They had their police officers patrolling that wall with weapons, enforcing their autonomous borders. And then what did they do immediately after that with their police force? They used their police force to shoot a young black guy. That's the first three things that they did. Garbage, racist country they had there over in Seattle. And a message to the government, they should all be hung or flogged. Dealer's choice. I don't know if we'll remember, but maybe every year to start January 6th, we could all come together and celebrate the anniversary of the stroll through the Capitol by condemning insurrection, specifically the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone insurrection. I think that would be a lot of fun. By the way, today's show is sponsored by Janet W. Janet, thank you so much for keeping us on the air. What a blessing. If you guys out there in the audience would like to sponsor a show, please go to kgov.com/sponsor and keep us going and broadcasting. All right, now, vaccine hesitancy. Being hesitant can help save lives, right? Now, I'm not talking about vaccines when I say this. This is a general statement. I'm talking about, you know, in life, we're hesitant to do things when we are unsure how safe they are. I, for example, I am afraid of heights. So when there's a ledge, say I'm going on a hike here in the Rocky Mountains, and there's a cliff, I'm usually rather hesitant to go up to the edge and peer over it because I value my life, and my hesitancy has saved my life, as I'm sure it has saved countless lives throughout human history. Hesitancy can be remarkably useful for survival. But if you're out here in the world spreading, you know, the air quotes, vaccine hesitancy, that will be labeled as dangerous medical misinformation. So saying the vaccine is dangerous, if you're doing that, you're going straight to the seventh circle of hell, of course. But even if you end up liking the vaccine after thinking about it for a little bit, that's not progressive enough for the left. The fact that you had to think about it, that means you want old people to die. And that's what the left has been telling me anyway. So I'm taking them at their word for that. People think we're joking when we compare things to 1984. I now refer to all this insanity as COVID-1984 because it's so insane. They're so set in their ways with all this that even if you think about it and end up agreeing with them, that still isn't good enough for them. They want you to fully hand over your brain to them and believe everything they say without question and swallow all their lies, hook, line, and sinker. Even if you do that, by the way, even if you surrender everything to them, that is still not enough because you really, what they really want is really they want you to be proud of letting them think for you. You have to brag about it. Otherwise, you're not really one of them. There's a reason I call this COVID-1984. I'm on Twitter. Follow me there at Dominic Inyar. I saw a bunch of people were talking about COVID, specifically Joe Rogan's big podcast episode where he was, you know, spreading vaccine hesitancy, which is medical misinformation, which is absurd. But a lot of people were talking about the points he made and the liberals. Did they respond to any of the substance? No, of course not. And I mean, Joe Rogan, he's somewhat liberal, but, you know, he dissented on this one point, and that's enough to get the left to try and cancel him. But they didn't respond to any of his substance. And that's because, as we discussed, they do not hear substance. That all goes in one ear and right out the other. You know, one Rogan fan tweeted out that Joe Rogan just wants to give information so you can formulate your own thoughts. And what was the reply to that? Can you guess? It's so typical, so common every time. The response, can you guess what it is? The response, and I'm reading now, Joe is not qualified to provide information on medical issues, and you are not qualified to evaluate it. Your, quote, own thoughts are completely ignorant speculation and are totally worthless. Just do what the smart people tell you, okay? Wow. So never before have people been so proud of their own willingness to outsource their own thinking. And you should never outsource your own thinking. With the stipulation that you should rely on God's understanding over your own, but do not outsource your own thinking just to the media. So let's just take a moment to appreciate that they make fun of us for saying COVID-1984 and then argue that you shouldn't even think about it, right? You know, don't resist, don't argue, don't make a scene, don't even think about it, just do it, just do what you're told, okay? You know, Solzhenitsyn said he only wished that he would have made a scene about it before it got to the point that it did, and that had they been making scenes about it, it wouldn't have happened. So no, that's not okay. We will think about it. We will not do as we're told, and we are going to make a scene about it. Oh, and to you in the audience, if someone tells you to put on a mask, it's okay to make a scene. I mean, don't hurt anybody physically, but it's okay to make people uncomfortable, you know? I don't enjoy doing that. I don't. I tend to be very agreeable by nature. I know it doesn't necessarily come across that way on the show, but I don't like making people uncomfortable, but that's something that I have to fight, and that I do. I have to make a scene. And now I will say there is one person, one singular person I know who's made a scene in every situation that comes to my mind when I've been around him. Only one person out of hundreds of people I've met who hate all this COVID-19 84 nonsense, only one person who's been consistent and steadfast against the insanity in every example I can think of. And that person is Doug McBurney, with the exception of his kids. His kids are pretty hardcore too, but Doug McBurney, in every situation where he sees someone with a mask, he always makes a scene about it, and it really is a sight to behold. But even me, I mean, this morning I was preparing for the show today. I went to a coffee shop and they said, hey, you need the mask, and I caved. I usually don't cave, but this morning I was in a hurry, so I put on the dumb mask that doesn't even work, and I ordered my coffee, I got to my table, and I took off the mask, all ashamed. But Doug McBurney, every single time I've seen him be told to put on a mask, he makes a scene. And Doug, I love you for that. And I know Doug has made a lot of enemies, but when I've been around him, he's been consistent. So props to him and his family for that. Now, I say all of this as a rather odd and roundabout segue. I was talking about how if you spread vaccine hesitancy, you're spreading medical misinformation, right, as they say. And I'm sure that you, being a member of the brightest audience in the country, that you have spread your fair share of medical misinformation. So kudos to you. But before, I was talking about knowing where to put your effort. And I think we could spread, medical hesitancy, if you will, elsewhere, and have that be our focus, and we could be much more productive with our efforts. So what is medical procedure that we should spread hesitancy about more than getting a vaccine? You probably already know my answer. Abortion. Of course, abortion. Of course. In the midst of all the COVID-19 84 nonsense, so many Christians, left and right, Republicans, conservatives, have lost sight of the biggest tragedy in America, abortion. COVID, for how much it's blown up in comparison, really, it's a non-issue. In America, 63 million babies have been murdered since Roe v. Wade. Other countries around the world, they look to the U.S. to copy us, and that's just the nature of things. And the worldwide abortion total this year alone, according to worldometers.info, is 1.2 million. That's this year, 2022, 11 days, not even 2 weeks, and over a million children murdered. And the U.S. is largely responsible for that number. I propose that abortion is the real issue. It's the real medical crisis. And we're talking about our freedoms being taken away and violated, our rights being stripped from us. We get so up in arms about everything that affects us personally, but what about what affects our neighbors in the womb? Is that not of way more importance? So while spreading vaccine hesitancy and making scenes about COVID, I'm all for that. But I don't think that's our main task. I think that's the stuff we should do on our days off. C.S. Lewis said that, and I mentioned this last week on the show, that good moral teachers never introduce new moralities, but they bring us back to the old moralities we so desperately try to forget. And in hopes of being a moral person, or perhaps even a moral teacher, if I could call myself that. I mean, I'm the one with the microphone, so here I am. But if I want to be a good example, I think it stands to reason that I should bring us back to the old, boring issue of abortion. And I'm going to be a broken record, and I'm going to say this is where we need to focus: a mass genocide of the only innocent among us. That is the bigger issue. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to spread abortion hesitancy, and I'm going to make a scene about abortion, and I hope you do so as well. And if I get labeled as misinformation, I mean, I might cry a little bit. That's not completely out of the realm of possibilities, but I'll get over it. So I'm gonna charge full steam ahead. I believe in myself. In doing so, spreading my abortion hesitancy, I want to talk about a story here from LifeSiteNews.com. The article: lawsuit claims DC nurse impersonated woman's mother in 911 call to hide details of botched abortion. So botched abortions. Abortions are very dangerous. People talk about how they want abortions to be safe, legal, and accessible. It used to be safe, legal, and rare. Now it's safe, legal, and accessible. But reminder, there is no such thing as a safe abortion. All abortions, except some botched abortions, ironically enough, result in death. There has never been a safe abortion in the history of mankind. Saying you want a safe abortion is like saying you want a safe firing squad or a safe electric chair. It's an oxymoron that does not exist. Of course, what they're doing is trying desperately to forget about the victim, and they want the assailant to be the one who's safe, right? Then that makes sense, right? Protect the assailant and murder the victim. And that's what they want. It's absurd. Duh. But we have to remember that abortion, it's not just unhealthy and, you know, it doesn't just murder the child. There's two people involved here. It's also very unhealthy for the mother as well. And first of all, I mean, mental health. You have to live with the guilt knowing that you murdered your own child. Which seems like, to me, that seems like that would drive me insane. You know, if I got some girl pregnant, I would almost rather die than have to live with the knowledge that I murdered my own child. So you can imagine what that extra stress does to one's health. Secondly, it's well documented that abortion causes breast cancer. Third, the pill has been documented very well. It causes severe bleeding issues for women. That's the abortion pill. Fourth, and this is the example we're going to talk about here today with this story, the surgeries are often botched, resulting in severe, terrible physical damage to the mother. Reading now from LifeSite News. An audio clip of a 911 call records the abortionist using the woman's mother's cell phone to call 911 to prevent the mother from revealing too much about her daughter's nightmarish abortion experience. Operation Rescue has obtained the 911 recording related to a horrifically botched second trimester abortion that is now the subject of a multi-million dollar medical malpractice suit. And this audio clip, by the way, there's a video of it on YouTube. We'll have that embedded on today's show summary at kgov.com on the January 11th show 2022. We'll have that there. So this is a story from back in 2018 that's just now surfacing. And stuff like this is all too common in the abortion industry. If you're thinking about going in for an abortion, good chance it'll be just some second string nurse practitioner killing your baby and you'll be seriously injured in the process. Continuing with the article, Markeisha Hemsley sued Capital Women's Services in Washington, D.C., and the nurse practitioner who seriously injured and abused her during a D&E dismemberment abortion procedure. D&E, that's dilation and evacuation. Then the recording, LifeSite News says, that recording supports information in Hemsley's suit that indicated the abortionist, a nurse practitioner named Kalila Jefferson, had used Hemsley's mother's cell phone to call 911 to prevent the mother from revealing too much about her daughter's nightmarish abortion experience. On October 28, 2018, Markeisha Hemsley and her mother visited Capital Women's Services in Washington, D.C. for a second trimester D&E abortion. That abortion facility conducts abortions to 36 weeks of pregnancy. Hemsley suffered life-threatening internal injuries during that dismemberment abortion procedure conducted by Jefferson. Injuries included a lacerated cervix, a 3-inch tear in her uterus, and massive internal hemorrhaging. The abortion was never completed by Jefferson, who could not locate the baby's head, which had been pushed through the hole in Hemsley's womb and was lodged in behind her uterus. So ladies, if you're thinking about getting an abortion, this could happen to you. What a sales pitch, right? And I don't believe in karma, but if I were, that's instant karma for you. By the way, as we're reading through this story, let's not make the mistake of praising this mom for suing, trying to get some extra cash from this abortion clinic. She was going in to murder her child. Continuing with the article, Jefferson is licensed as a nurse practitioner in Washington, D.C., where it is legal for non-physicians to conduct abortions, although it is doubtful that complex second trimester abortion surgeries were meant to be included in that provision. Jefferson began the abortion at Capital Women's Services in Washington, D.C., but continued it at a Moore OBGYN office in Greenbelt, Maryland, where she is also employed. She holds a nurse practitioner's license in Maryland, where it is not legal for non-physicians to conduct late-term surgical abortions. According to Hemsley's malpractice suit, when Jefferson could not complete the abortion at the Capital Women's Service in Washington, D.C., she transported Hemsley in her private BMW SUV against Hemsley's will across state lines to the Moore OBGYN office. And note, with this case, it's actually important, unlike with the Kyle Rittenhouse case, it's important that they crossed state lines here because that doesn't make this sound more scary, but because it actually became illegal after crossing the state lines. Continuing, Jefferson allegedly disregarded Hemsley's plea to be taken to a hospital and told her to, quote, shut up about it. Once at the office of Moore OBGYN, Jefferson illegally attempted to complete the abortion after Hemsley's anesthesia wore off, according to allegations. So, you know how moms are often concerned, will this hurt the baby? That's a question that moms will ask themselves before deciding to have an abortion. The answer to that, of course, is yes. I mean, obviously, the physical pain, which is intense, severe physical pain for the baby. But in comparison, that is nothing to the knowledge that they will have in the afterlife that my mom hated me so much, she ended up murdering me. But to the ladies who are pondering abortion and who decide to go through with it, you are awfully selfish, so maybe this line of reasoning will work better with you. You should consider, will the anesthesia wear off as it did with Hemsley here, and will it hurt me? Good chance, right? Continuing with LifeSite News, Hemsley's mother, who had followed Jefferson to the Moore OBGYN facility, heard her daughter's cries and entered the operating room where she saw Jefferson, who was holding bloody forceps, standing in front of her screaming daughter. Hemsley's mother had apparently seen enough. She advised Jefferson that she was calling 911 for an ambulance. Jefferson told her not to give the 911 operator the address of the Moore OBGYN facility. When Hemsley's mother refused, Jefferson then grabbed the phone from her and impersonated Hemsley's mother to the 911 dispatcher, referring to Markeisha Hemsley as, quote, my daughter. On the 9/11 recording, the dispatcher is heard asking what her phone number was, thinking she was speaking to the injured woman's mother. Jefferson is heard asking Hemsley's real mother what her phone number is so she could give it to the dispatcher. Jefferson was curt with the dispatcher and seemed annoyed at the questioning, especially when asked where she would be waiting for the ambulance. Jefferson told the 911 responder that they would be outside the building, but refused to specify exactly where outside they would be. Hemsley's suit noted that while she was hemorrhaging internally and suffering excruciating pain, she was forced to walk out to the street curb, which was a considerable distance from the building, and drifted in and out of consciousness while she waited for help to arrive. There, the ambulance eventually intercepted her and transported her to George Washington University Hospital, where she underwent emergency surgery to save her life. So what a great sales pitch for getting an abortion, right? Quote, Kalila Jefferson showed no mercy to her suffering patient. She essentially kidnapped and tortured Hemsley during a long day of abuse. However, in this unfortunate political climate, it is doubtful with the current administration in Washington, D.C., or that the authorities in Maryland will lift a finger to investigate any alleged crimes that may have been committed by Jefferson, said Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue. Hemsley is seeking a judgment of $30 million against Jefferson Capital Women's Services. And, okay, all right, now, this happens all the time. Think back to the abortionist Gosnell, right? America's most prolific serial killer. His clinic, if you have seen the movie, you know that his clinic was nightmare fuel, right? Dead baby body parts in jars that he kept in his fridge, botched abortions left and right, blood on the floor, receptionists performing abortions. And what happens, right? You never hear about it because of the political atmosphere around abortion. You never hear a thing about it. So if you're considering getting an abortion, or you're the father and you want her to get an abortion so you don't have to take care of the child, consider first and foremost, right, that you're murdering an innocent child, your own innocent child, which makes you a sniveling weasel in and of itself if you go through with it. But if having a moral compass won't stop you, consider the intense physical pain and damage that comes with abortion, and then also consider that you won't get any sympathy from the abortionist if things go wrong. You see, when God made the world, he added natural consequences to sin. And now, I know this from experience, you cannot avoid those consequences. No matter how hard you try, your sin will find you out. So you want to have sex outside of marriage, you're going to get STDs, you're going to get pregnant, and you can try and stop it, but it'll happen. That's just the way the world works. You know, you get pregnant, you don't want a child, so what do? You try and murder your own kid. There are consequences to that, and you cannot avoid those consequences, including the physical damage that comes with abortion, breast cancer that comes with abortion, mental anguish that comes from abortion, the torment of knowing, hey, I murdered my own child. You can run from it, but your sin will find you out. The consequences will find you out. They always do. Then, of course, on the day of judgment, your sin will find you out as you stand before your God and have to give an account. As you have to explain to your own child why you murdered her, and you have to tell her, oh, if I didn't murder you, I couldn't afford my new iPhone. That's not going to be pleasant. Your sin will find you out. So vaccine hesitancy, that's a good thing to spread. But we have an obligation to help our neighbors avoid the fate I just described. So let's focus some more on spreading abortion hesitancy. If Hemsley here would have had some abortion hesitancy, she might have avoided this whole disaster of a situation. Anyways, I'm frustrated with this story. Everyone's so evil. Anyways, check out kgov.com. Join us, Agape Kingdom Fellowship. May God bless you guys.